Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Transport Minister Shane Ross is considering how to make electric skateboards, scooters and those other types of vehicles that you probably have seen, particularly if you drive in an urban centre around the country, legally usable in public spaces. Have you seen the things? They fly along, they go quite quickly. They're you'll see people on a scooter, but they're just moving without using their leg to push themselves. He's going to ask the Road Safety Authority to conduct research on extending the law to cover such vehicles, some of which can reach up to 45 kilometres per hour in under 2 seconds. That seems quite fast. The popularity of these skateboards and scooters is increasing because they're a good way to get around bad traffic, but it is a headache for various legislators. The head of transport in Dublin City Council has advised against allowing rental schemes for electric scooters because of concerns around the machine's legal status and safety. Currently, it's not always clear to the users of scooters whether they need to be taxed or licensed or insured. So what do you think should happen with these kind of more modern modes of transport? They're widely used around the world. It's not just an Irish phenomenon. Are we just reinventing the wheel here? Sorry, I'll get my coat. But to discuss this, I am joined now by Noel Rock, who is Fine Gael TD, of course, for Dublin North West. Noel, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ciara. Thanks for having me.
How are you? I believe you are a scooter owner and user yourself.
I am. Yeah, I am indeed. And I've been, advocating for the law to be updated for about a year now, Ciara, because it's become increasingly apparent to me that they are becoming more and more popular, both in Dublin and around cities, capital cities in particular, around the world. But yet in Ireland, they live in a bit of a legislative grey area. They're not quite mechanically propelled vehicles in the sense that they require a manual intervention to start, i.e. you kind of have to kick yourself along. And then when you get to 5 kilometres an hour under your own propulsion, then the electric motor kicks in. So it's not really mechanically propelled.
So do they work off a dynamo? Is that the kind of way they work?
Yeah, precisely, yeah. So, I mean, you have to get to a minimum manual speed, if you like, before the electric motor will kick in. So that puts it in a very legislative grey area. And obviously, legislation, you know, in all regards, needs to be kept updated whenever new technology comes along. And this is new technology. So we need to update the law accordingly and make sure that we update the law safely as well.
Okay.
Like, you know, yesterday alone, I saw 3 scooters in from Condra and Santry. 2 of them were being used on the road in a cycle lane. I think that's right and proper. But one of them was being used on a footpath. I don't think that's right and I don't think that's proper.
But currently, you know, currently there is no regulation about whether they can be used on footpaths or roads or no. Where their proper place is. Is that correct?
No. That's right. Yeah, there's nothing clear on this at all. So, you know, when I was coming into work one of the days, obviously we have Gardaí at the front of the Oireachtas, at the front of the house, and they stopped me. Not now to pull me over or anything like that, but they stopped me just to ask me about the vehicle and ask me what its status was under road traffic legislation. And then they said to me that they weren't clear about it either, but
okay,
that they saw them around the city centre all the time. So, you know, if Gardaí aren't clear about it, and the Garda Press Office haven't been especially consistent with the Motor Tax Office about it, in terms of all the correspondence I've had with them, it's clear that the law needs to be updated.
Yeah, no, and I accept it, and we'll get into what should or could happen. But just why do you have one, Noel? Was it ease of, like, you're obviously, you know, on the north side, you're coming in, there's heavy traffic. Was it, do you commute with it? Is that how you travel? Or are you just down with the young people?
I'm certainly not down with the young people. I'm a bit of a geek at heart, so I'm always interested in these new technologies. And, you know, they're relatively affordable. They're about €400, which, as far as an electric mode of transport goes, you know, is quite cheap altogether. And they seem to me to be the solution for what they call the last mile in public transport. So, you know, in a lot of cities, you have buses, you have metros, you have trains, but then often the train or the bus won't leave you exactly where you need to go. So the question always is, in urban mobility, how do you complete the last mile? And it seems to me that electric scooters maybe pose the solution, where you could have, you know, high frequency lines like the metro, which we hope to start building next year. And then in order to complete the last mile of your journey, you'd hop on something like a scooter. Maybe they'd be rental scooters, or maybe they'd be owned, personally owned scooters.
So you could envisage either a rental scheme like the bike scheme, or perhaps people bringing these, I don't know if they fold or not, bringing these scooters on public transport and hopping off to make the last bit of their journey.
Yeah, they do fold. I mean, my one folds up and you can pop it into the kind of the luggage compartment on the Dublin bus when you get on. So that's what I'd do. I'd get down, say, as far as Broadstone, and then hop on the scooter from there and kind of cut in through the north inner city down Cable Street into Leinster House that way, if you follow me.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a very handy way of doing things. It significantly speeds up a commute. But what we need to do is make sure that it's done safely and that it's done kind of properly in accordance with the law.
It does, it does sound good. I mean, it sounds good as I'm quite keen on cycling and green forms of transport. I think that they're good for people. I think they're healthy, and I think that they probably reduce congestion and emissions. So I see nothing negative about it. But I have also seen these scooters, Noel, around the city. And on occasion, I mean, I do remember at one stage seeing somebody on one drinking a can of beer and weaving in and out of traffic and thinking to myself, this is really bloody dangerous. No regulation about speeds, no regulation currently about roads, and also there are rear lights on some of them, but they're very low down. They're harder to see than a bike, I would suggest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, and that's why the laws are needed, you know, to regularise these things. For instance, a question that we posed, you know, you say in your intro that they can go up to 45 kilometres an hour. The one I own can go up to 30 kilometres an hour. I'd say accordingly, probably helmets probably should be mandatory, given that it's an electric vehicle and they can go up to 30 kilometres an hour. I would feel that, unlike bicycles, I would feel that helmets maybe should be mandatory for electric scooters. Similarly, those rear lights that you talk about, they should be mandatory. Not being on footpath should be mandatory. If it's operated under the influence of alcohol, that should be punishable. But none of these things are currently in place because there's no law.
What about insurance? I mean, it's unlikely if you were unfortunate enough to be an electric scooter and you came up against a car that you wouldn't be the one that came off worse. But I would imagine if you were a pedestrian crossing the road, first of all, they're not very noisy vehicles. So you usually have, I mean, this will change with electric cars going forward. But currently, when a pedestrian steps off the road, not only do they have their eyes, they have their ears to warn them of that, you know, a car's imminent arrival about to crash into them. They could easily step in front of something that's moving quickly, maybe harder to see and makes no noise. What about insurance? Should there be some kind of a system whereby if you knock if you knock somebody down going at 45 kilometres an hour, we've seen all the ads, you're 90% likely to get up off the ground and be well if you're hit at 30 kilometres per hour. You're 90% to be seriously injured at 40 kilometres an hour, and these ones go faster than that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be my personal view now, and the Minister's obviously commissioned the Road Safety Authority on my and others' prompting to go and look at the law in this regard. It'd be my personal view that any of these vehicles that go beyond 30 kilometres an hour should be subject to taxation and should be subject to insurance. I think 30 kilometres an hour is probably a cut-off point where it'd be more similar to an electrically assisted bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's going below 30 kilometres an hour, it'd be quite similar to the speed of an electric assist bicycle, which currently wouldn't require tax and insurance. So I think it's important to have consistency there.
Okay. My guest is Noel Rock, Fine Gael TD for Dublin North West. We're discussing the regulation that may be brought in around the use of electric scooters, electric skateboards. Have you seen these? These are definitely a phenomenon on our roads. I have seen them, and whilst I can see the benefits of them to people, currently seeing them flying around the place, I would have some concerns about it. 53106, let me know what you think about it. Lots of people are texting saying Dermot Bannon was in Stockholm last night on the telly and the electric scooters are all over the city, and that would be a great idea. But we seem to be currently, Noel, failing to deal with the bigger issue of bicycles and cyclists in the city. Do we not need to urgently tackle a safe, or we call it a cycle lane, call it a scooter lane, call it an alternative vehicle lane? But currently we have increasing numbers of people using the likes of scooters, skateboards, bikes, all of those things. And Dublin remains an unsafe city for those users.
100%. And I feel very vulnerable when I'm using a scooter on a road. And I imagine every cyclist does as well. Certainly every cyclist I talk to feels very vulnerable whenever they're operating on a main road. So what we need to see urgently is not just cycle lanes, but what they call, I suppose, cycle tracks, i.e. that they're physically segregated from the rest of the road. So that there's no ambiguity or no fear in the back of your mind that a car could end up in a cycle lane, or indeed, I suppose, vice versa. And so that's what we really urgently need to see. And that's, like, this Bus Connect thing is causing a lot of controversy, I know, and I hear it discussed on your show and on other shows and News Talk as well. But one of the universally positively received elements of it, I think, anyway, is the provision of proper cycle tracks, around 220 kilometres worth of cycle tracks on all the main arteries to and from the city.
And are they going to be segregated in the, you know, some kind of a curb or little set of bumps or little flexible poles or whatever? Or will there be a or are we just talking about a bit of paint on the road?
No, in the main, they will be segregated. That's the proposal, all right. There'll be some instances where they will be on the road, but they'll be segregated by something akin to what they call traffic one, technically, which are those things that you might see around.
I remain sceptical, Noel. I mean, I come in off and down Leeson Street in my car, and they have put segregated bumps in at the bottom of Leeson Street as you approach the green to protect cyclists. I'm all for that, but they haven't changed the road markings, and all that happens is that the left-hand lane, the lane nearest the path for motorists, is now not the width of a car, and if the person in the middle lane doesn't recognise that the person in the inner lane doesn't have a width of their car and they stayed within their own lane, they take the side off people.
These are kind of what I call make-believe cycle lanes.
Yes.
You either paint or you put those things down. I think they're called traffic armadillos, those on Leeson Street. You put them down, but you're effectively, all you're doing is shortening the traffic lane. You've got a two-thirds width road.
I respect the bumps for the cyclists, and I recognise the need for them, but not moving the paint marks for the motorists is going to cause motorist collisions. That's what it's going to cause.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that's an NTA thing. You know, we need to get a lot more canny and a lot more consistent, I suppose, in how we're planning these things right now, because Dublin isn't a good city to cycle in, and it isn't a good city if you're a vulnerable either a pedestrian, a scooter user, or a cyclist.
I fully agree, and I agree with you about the pavements too. There's too many children and older people and people with mobility issues on pavements to allow motorised vehicles on the pavement. They're for pedestrians, and I think they should be exclusively for pedestrians. Bear with me a second, so I want to tell you what people are saying on the text line and also on the phone lines. Someone says, Kier, if we can't enforce the existing laws for bikes, what hope do we have to do anything for scooters? Someone else says, Shane Ross should spend some time on improving the existing transport services first. Irish Rail used to be a great service, but has sadly been on a downhill slope since September, and the minister doesn't seem to care. I don't agree with that one, because if the people are already on the scooters and the skateboards, you can't ignore it till you sort out the train system. And someone else says, Section 53 of the Road Traffic Act for dangerous driving is one law that applies to all vehicles, as far as I know. We've got great educated people. And Declan is on the line, one of our listeners. Declan, you're in Madrid currently. Do they have a system over there for these electric scooters?
Well, they must have, because they rent them out to anybody and everybody.
Okay.
In the last few months, the mayor of Madrid has basically been trying to discourage people from driving in the centre. So the very centre of Madrid, if certain types of cars are banned, in that they'll get fined if they go into the centre of Madrid unless you're a resident there. And then other cars, depending on their emissions, have stickers on them that classify them. And as part of this whole program, they've introduced electric scooters that people can rent, and you stick in your credit card and off you go.
Okay.
My only experience is of having to avoid running into them on the very, very busy roads in Madrid. There's a lot of one way traffic in Madrid, but some of those one way streets are five lanes across, literally five lanes across. So if you're there and You kind of need to have the instincts of a fighter pilot to drive in Madrid, because people here are not very familiar with how indicators and mirrors work.
Okay. I would say the same could be said sometimes of Dublin, to be honest, but continue.
Well, I don't think I've ever driven in the centre of Dublin, actually. Whenever I visit home, I tend to go around on the M50. I've seen instances here. I've been driving a lot in Madrid City at night recently, and these people are on the scooters. Anybody can rent one if they've got a credit card. I don't know if that payment includes any kind of insurance, but it certainly doesn't require you to have any kind of training or any kind of familiarity with.
Do they have lights at night, Declan? If they're on the road at night, do they have lights?
So the base of the unit has a red light at the back. There's a small white light at the front, but they're very,
very low
small
to the,
and they're very narrow.
And very low to the ground. Very hard to see.
That's right. And if you've got somebody in dark clothing on that, with all the lights of the city and the other traffic anyway, it's very easy to miss them.
Okay.
Now, my driving style, I prioritise two-wheeled vehicles over cars. So rather than when I'm looking over my shoulder to see if there's anything in a lane that I'm about to move into, I'm not looking for cars because I'll see them anyway. I'm looking for bikes.
Okay.
So I tend to catch these things anyway.
Because you're hyper aware of them.
Yeah, but I've seen people on the scooters fall over.
Oh, God.
Because they just don't know how to manage them. And then you get people who are not confident enough to use them on the roadway itself. I'm not surprised.
So they're up on the path.
They're up on the footpath. And of course, they're bombing along on the footpath. And as you mentioned earlier, people are just, pedestrians are just not aware of this and they're not expecting it. And it's troublesome.
Okay.
Flip side of this for me is I did some work last year in Paris. And they're very popular among owners. So these are not rented units.
Yeah.
They do rent them as well, as far as I know. But people have their own, and you see them out on the road. And not just the two-wheeled scooters, you also see people, the electric unicycle is very popular. And it doesn't have a seat, you just stand on it. I don't know how the hell it balances, but you just stand, put your feet on it. It's a wheel with two little platforms on the side. You stand in and off you go. They'll easily do 30 kilometres an hour, easily.
Look, thank you for filling us in on that, Declan, about Madrid, because I think that we are moving in this direction here too. Thank you for that indeed. Now, let me bring you back in. Loads of people texting too. Someone says, Ciara, the government should be embracing and encouraging scooters as a new mode of transport. The laws should reflect safety and where scooters can be used and not insurance or road tax, which will discourage their uptake. But equally, Brian says, Ciara, I used to live and work in Amsterdam. Insurance was mandatory for all cycling, cyclists, scooters, etc. And John says, Ciara, drivers hate them and other cyclists hate them. They have no awareness of the need for lights or luminous vests. Just one more annoyance on our already crowded streets. I suppose I'm starting to see a picture emerge here in my head. Noel, do you see a time when city centres, Dublin included and indeed others, become hostile to motorists in general, and all the forms of transports are going to be bikes, are going to be scooters, are going to be these new electrified ways of getting around, because just for space and ease and congestion and all of that, the roads are not going to be car friendly?
Yeah, to an extent you can see a movement towards that. And I suppose anybody involved, either be at a council level or government level, needs to be canny of the need for balance, I feel, to a certain extent. You know, one of the proposals that gets quite a lot of traction, but it's deeply unpopular in my part of the city, is the idea of closing off College Green. The reason it's unpopular is because anyone who depends on a bus, for example, would find it quite a lot more difficult to get to the core of the city centre if College Green closed off. However, it does need to be recognised that obviously it's unsustainable to continue going the way we are with road traffic and with car traffic. And that's why we have to pour money into things like Metro, like Lewis Cross City, and making sure that, you know, mass transportation, public transportation is more easily accessible and easily adoptable for people, because the population is growing, therefore the traffic is growing, therefore, you know, we can't build any more roads in Dublin City Centre.
All right, we're losing you slightly there, but thank you for that indeed, for coming on and talking to me. That is Noel Rock there, Fine Gael TD for Dublin North West. 5306 is the text. And what do you think? I mean, you've probably seen these things. They do go around the city. I've seen them. And a couple of times I've been concerned, to be frank, about their weaving in and out of traffic as a standing entity. They seem to me to be even more vulnerable than cyclists. They're very mobile. They can cut between lanes, but they move quickly. And you won't always see them before they're right beside you, not well lit. I mean, I'm actually all for the idea of a change in direction for how we get around our cities to a large extent, but we need to do it right. And I'm not sure that we are. What do you think about them on pavements? I think that's a terrible idea. Lots of people texting. Someone says, Ciara, I was at a huge boat show in Dusseldorf recently and I noticed a large amount of floor space allocated to all types of electric scooters. Some of them were a type I've never seen before. They're really popular for boat owners to transfer from their boats to the shops and such. It occurred to me what we are seeing is just the beginning of a personal transport revolution, and certainly our laws need to get on top of this as soon as possible. We have enough incidences between pedestrians and road users already without electric scooters driving on the footpaths. I think that person, Brian, who's texted that, is exactly right. I think we are seeing a revolution in terms of how we travel. I don't think we are going to see long term our cities choked with cars the way we see them now. I suspect in 10 to 15 years it's going to be a very different landscape. But you let me know what you think. Lots more coming up after this.
Now, just before we went to the break there, what we were talking about was these electric scooters and skateboards and these kind of new wave of motorised vehicles that we're seeing around our cities and around our towns currently. And we're talking about, do they need to be regulated? Do they need to be insured? Are they safe? What do you think about them? And Ray from the Scary Cycling Initiative, one of our listeners, is on the line now. Ray, what do you make of it? Is this more positive in your view, more moving in the kind of the green energy sort of non-emissions, non-carbon footprinty direction? Or are they competition with you, the cyclist, on our roads?
I don't regard them as competition at all. I'm all for sustainable transport.
Yeah.
But we have to manage it properly. And the insight I was trying to give you in my text was that when my wife and I went to Holland to cycle last year,
yeah.
Holland is regarded by cyclists as a sort of a mecca for cycling, and we indeed found it to be so. But what we found our problem was in some urban areas was that mopeds were allowed to use the cycle tracks. Now, these are segregated cycle tracks. You expect them to be safe because you're segregated from the traffic, but the mopeds were weaving in and out among the cycling traffic, including children who were expecting to be able to cycle along in safety.
Okay.
And that was we found that a big problem.
Okay. And are these, like, when you say mopeds, are we talking about electric bikes? Or are we talking about full-blown Vespas and stuff?
I think up to 50cc, something like that. I think the issue is there are two issues. One is footpaths should be completely ruled out for any of these devices. Footpaths are for pedestrians. People want to feel safe. There are children, there are dogs, etc. As far as cycle tracks and cycling facilities are concerned, if the vehicle is basically mechanically propelled, if the person on the scooter is physically propelling the device, and they get electrical assistance, just like people who are cycling electric bikes get electrical assistance, and I'm all for them because they enable elderly people to stay on their bikes for longer. That's okay. But if it is a fully fledged mechanical vehicle which is capable of doing 30, 40, 50 kilometers an hour, then they should be on the road. They are.
So you're saying in a cycle, okay, so pedestrians, I think we're in agreement, should be the only people on footpaths, because maybe a child on a push scooter would be okay beside their parents, but in the main, pavements are for pedestrians. In cycle lanes, you're willing to welcome electric bikes or electric scooters, provided they aren't particularly speedy. But you think everything else, you know, small mopeds, all of that on the road with the cars.
Definitely. And it's critical that we get this right now, because in Dublin, thanks to the shift in the mentality of our transport maestros and the Bus Connect project, we're about to get a couple of hundred kilometres of very good quality cycleways in Dublin City. And these are commuter routes in and out of the city. They're vital in order to get a shift upwards in cycling numbers in Dublin. And we've got to make sure that we don't mess that up by allowing mechanically propelled vehicles into those cycling facilities.
Would you favour, Ray, things like insurance? I mean, you're talking about Amsterdam as the mecca. We've had other texters say that cycling is insurable in Amsterdam and in Holland. So if you are cycling in the Netherlands, like if you had a car, you would take out insurance as a cyclist. Should we be looking at things like that? I mean, I know you don't want to discourage people from cycling, but as more and more people do cycle, as more and more people who cycle have their own lanes, have their own, I suppose, system of transport, and I would favour us expanding the cycle network around the city, I completely do. But should it be then, I suppose, subject to greater regulation?
Well, some of my friends actually have who cycle actually have insurance, but you have to measure the need for something like that against the risk. That is a question that you could put to an insurer. Mechanically propelled vehicles. If you're hit by a bicycle, you could be seriously injured.
Yeah, you could.
Even rarely, you could be killed. But it's rare. If you're hit at any speed by a car or a truck, depending on the actual speed, you're either going to be severely injured or injured or killed.
Yeah, no, Anna, so and I absolutely accept that. I'd rather be hit by a bike than a car. I totally agree with you. But you know, nonetheless, if I was walking along a pavement minding my own business and I was hit by a cyclist who was doing 35 kilometres an hour, I could have a significant injury. I could lose my teeth. I could have be knocked unconscious. I could have a nasty head injury. I could break an arm. There are things that could happen to me. I could be killed. It's not that likely, but it's possible.
But the person who hit you was breaking the law. They can be prosecuted for that because it's illegal to cycle on a foot for an adult to cycle.
It is, but them being prosecuted is one thing. If they were in a car, I would get a payout because their insurance would pay me. I'm not sure how that works if a cyclist hits me without insurance. Yes, they're prosecuted for law breaking, but that doesn't help me needing a new set of teeth.
All I would say to you about this is that if that were brought in, the cost of the insurance would have to be proportional to the risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I accept that.
In which case, the cost would be very, very small.
Well, you'd hope. I mean, I'm not trying to put people off cycling. All I'm saying
that would be a big concern for someone who's trying to encourage cycling. I'm not aware of any country that has made it compulsory for cycling to be and for cyclists to insure themselves.
Okay.
And that itself.
There have been several texts on our, now I can't stand over the veracity of them, but there have been several texts on our text lines today saying that insurance is mandatory for cyclists in the Netherlands. I don't know. And that's from somebody, some of them have said that they live there or that they work there. So
yeah, I'm not aware of, I'm not aware of that.
I can't stand over, but it's interesting. Thank you for talking to us, Ray. I like the perspective and indeed I like the idea of an extra couple of 100 kilometres of cycle lanes. I think it's about time. Thank you for that. Patricia is also on the line, one of our listeners. Patricia, you are quite interested in this insurance idea as well. You were, in fact, hit by a cyclist. Tell me about that.
Yes, I was indeed, Ciara.
Yeah.
Monday morning, 3 weeks ago, crossing at a green man at a pedestrian crossing, and a cyclist who broke the light at speed took me off my feet, and I ended up rolling around on the in the middle of the road.
Holy moly.
And battered, bruised, very shook, very upset.
Yeah.
And still 3 weeks later with a very sore knee, which I actually would have gone to get x-rays the following day, but the following day was the nurse's strike, so
all right,
there was no point in
everything worked against you.
Everything, yes.
Patricia, did he stop or she stop?
He did actually stop, and he was very arrogant and really initially sort of did everything he could do to say that he was not at fault.
Even though you were at a green man crossing in the appropriate part of the road on a green light for walking.
So from, he told me it had just turned green.
Sorry, excuse me.
Green.
Oh my word.
It's green. Also told me, I said, you have to have broken a red light if you came around on the green because it's a four-way, junction.
You do have to. And what's more, you'd have had an amber light before your red light.
Absolutely. It's a busy crossing and I actually was and it's a four-way crossing. So I actually was looking at the traffic lights because it goes traffic, then pedestrian crossing. So I wasn't sure which sequence I was on, whether I was going to get the pedestrian. So I was kind of checking. And so I had actually looked to my right, nothing coming. Looked straight ahead, green man, stepped out onto the road and whipped off my feet.
Wow. Okay, so this boyo arrives, says, no, it's only just turned green,
And then said, I went on an amber and I said, well, actually, it's illegal to go on an amber. You technically should stop.
But I'm sorry, you defer to a pedestrian always, irrespective. If you stepped out on a green, if you were in the wrong, you'd still be in the right, as in they need to be able to stop and they need to be going slow enough to stop.
And if I had been a child, I had been an elderly person, and it's a very busy junction, it was 8:30 in the morning, there are kids going to school, and a kid can run out. It's one of the things, when you learn how to drive, you are constantly told to watch out for children because, you know, they are the lowest rung on the ladder.
Yeah, and you're constantly told to scan pavements for pedestrians.
Absolutely.
Who might step off.
Yes.
So you don't have a name, you don't have an insurance, you're sore. If you were hit by a car with the same injuries, you'd have some kind of a payout.
And this is it, because at least if a car was going by, you could take a look at a reg plate, you could get a reg plate. Even if the car didn't stop, you'd get a reg plate. I was sort of in so much shock and I was so upset. I wanted to get away from him really as fast as possible. I should have phoned the police at the time. I didn't. I regret that. I did go and make a report to the police, because I think a lot of the statistics that we're hearing are not really accurate statistics, because people don't actually report these sort of things. And I think it's really important that when they talk about cyclists, because we're hearing there's a very strong cyclist lobby. We hear an awful lot about cyclists. We hear nothing about pedestrians. And I, for one, I'm really glad that College Green has not been pedestrianised, because it will not be suitable for pedestrians if cyclists have free rein through that space.
All right. Good point. Lastly, you got no name.
I got no name. Whereas if somebody was insured, if they had to have an identifier on either their high-vis vest or their helmet or on their bike, you could just take that number. It's difficult when someone's been arrogant and, you know, really a bit aggressive back with you. It's quite hard to go, well, what, you know, and you're there upset. You know, I'm in the middle of the road, snotting and bawling and feeling embarrassed and everything else.
Yeah, no, I'm so sorry.
It's really difficult to go, you know, what's your name, what's your address?
And look, thank you for coming on, because this is an issue. And you know what it says to me is there's always people who will behave badly under such circumstances. But because there is no law around it to the same extent as there would be around a motorist, they're sort of allowed to behave badly.
Yes.
Some of what puts manners on us is regulation, is law, is insurance, it's the legality.
Your previous caller said the insurance rates would be quite low because the risk is quite low. Well, I'm not sure that that is the case, because since my accident, every second person I'm talking to is telling me about similar incidents. Somebody in the office next door to me, their mother was knocked down by a cyclist and had a fractured wrist. One of my own colleagues, one of my team members, was knocked off her bike by another cyclist, and she ended up with a fractured knee. So I'm hearing all of these stories in the last couple of weeks from people who are being, you know, having either near misses or are actually having collisions cyclists.
Look, thank you for coming on. It's a very interesting conversation we're having. Thank you for that indeed, Patricia. 53106. You heard what we're talking about, regulation of electric scooters and skateboards and the like, but also Patricia's been knocked down by a cyclist. He wasn't particularly nice about it. Have you been in that position? What should happen? We're moving, as somebody texted earlier, that we're seeing a revolution in personal transport. Things are going to change. Electric cars, driverless cars, and people on electric bikes and scooters and all that. That's going to be the future. How do we regulate it? What do you think needs to happen? Coming up after this, do we need to put a positive spin on climate change?